You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
George Sedano, J.A. Adande, Harry Lyles Jr., Mr. Bob Ryan. Great to have you guys here because you are body language experts. Let me ask you, does it look like the Knicks just won a basketball game by Julius Randle's game-ending dribble out the clock kinesis? And flight tracker for Tiger Woods. Is he playing Augusta?
That might have been the best pass of the night by Julius Randle.
Kick shot.
NC State UConn instant classic. The first double overtime Elite Eight game ever. It was raucous. The three, Jakia Browner Turner, hit to force the second overtime was bonkers. Paige Beckers in the overtime, plural, was fire. The home court advantage for the two seed UConn was deafening. Some foul calls. You couldn't hear some non-calls maybe you should have heard. NC State was upset about that. UConn going to their 14th straight Final Four. George, how much of this classic game was Beckers and UConn pulling it off? How much of it was NC State not having enough? How much of it was the home court advantage of this game being played in Connecticut?
The home court advantage certainly plays, Tony. I think at some point we need to realize the women's game has grown to the point where we probably shouldn't have it a few miles away from Storrs, Connecticut, right? They don't have to play in Bridgeport necessarily. There's other places in the region they could play that at least gives the other team a better shot of getting a crowd in there. Paige Beckers was incredible. Her second halves in the last two games, she's shooting 65%, and she's scoring 1.03 points per direct touch. Just to give you context, Tony, that's the equivalent of what Damian Lillard does, okay? That's how good Paige Beckers was. Here's the other part. It's not just Paige, though. Those guards were fantastic. Beckers, Williams, Fudd, they led the way. NC State fought valiantly, but those three young ladies really pulled UConn.
J.A. Adande, did you see this as UConn's win, the home court advantage, throwing off the level playing field, or did NC State just not have enough?
I thought it was about the evolution and the maturation of Paige Beckers, or maybe the improved accuracy of Paige Beckers specifically, because last year in the tournament, she shot below 40% three times. This year, she shot above 40% in every game, including that 65%, 10 for 15 in the last game, wanted the ball and delivered repeatedly in crunch time. So, you know, she wasn't that great during the tournament last year consistently. She's more consistent now, even though she did have that defensive miscue that allowed that game-tying three-pointer at the end of the first overtime. But the way she's taking control on offense bodes well for Connecticut.
Harry Lyles Jr., I'll bring you in here on this classic.
You know, Gino Auriemma said something at the end of the game, which is that it's a shame that one of these teams had to go home. I mean, that NC State team was one of the best teams in women's college basketball all season. And while Paige Beckers is deservingly getting a ton of credit based on that game, which she should, right? 23 points in the second half, 8-9 shooting. I really want to give a shout out here to Kristen Williams, 21 points. And she was a big, big part of the reason why UConn is here in the first place. Because as we remember, Paige Beckers missed 19 games. We remember Gino's reaction to that, the struggles that UConn had, a loss to the team here in Atlanta, Georgia Tech. And she really held that team up in a way that they needed it to, and now they're going to their 14th straight Final Four.
She played 48 minutes last night, did Williams. All right, Bob, let me bring you in here and pointed question for you. The home court advantage that UConn wound up having while being the two seed, and NC State, hello, is the one seed. Is that fair?
No, it's not fair. And the women's basketball game needs to evolve a little farther. But I was thinking about this. It's not exclusive to the women's game at times. There have been times when the Jayhawks were playing in Kansas City. So I was cited as a big advantage. But it does help. Of course it helps. As far as UConn last night's concerned, Gino Auriemma, who's been around and seen a few games, I think we all agree to this, said that this was one of the great games ever that he's been associated with. I'll take him at his word. So, who's as far as the performance of Beckers, we all seem to be unanimous. It was tremendous. It was the determining factor in the end. And I just was thinking, it's a good thing she got hurt as early as she did. If she got hurt a month later, we wouldn't be having this conversation. So, fortunately for them, she was injured early enough in the season for her to be able to get back at crunch time. And now that she is back, they're very formidable.
She may not even be 100% at the moment. I mean, maybe she turned the corner in the overtimes last night. George Sedano, last word after the horn.
Bob makes a great point about Kansas City and Kansas, and we've seen it with Lexington and Kentucky in the men's game, but those are in the first round or second round, Tony. It's not the Elite Eight to get to the Final Four. I think that's a big difference.
The other game, Louisville, had one of the great closeouts you ever see in the Elite Eight. 5 minutes to go. It's a two-point game. And defensively, Louisville shuts Michigan out. 0 points. That defense, Emily Engstler, and the trapping on Hillman, one of the great offensive players of the game. That was stunning. And Haley Van Lith carrying the offense. That's how you close a game out. And that's how we set the Final Four now. Maybe the one you thought you'd see. 3 ones and a two. Stanford versus UConn. South Carolina versus Louisville. Harry, who's looking best going into the Final Four?
I pick South Carolina because they've got, to me, the best player in the country in Aaliyah Boston. And as we saw in the Elite Eight against Creighton, when she's getting help, that is undoubtedly the best team in the country. That's why they won that game by 30 points. But also a team that I really enjoy watching is Stanford, because when they've got their three-headed monster of Haley Jones, Lexi Hull, and Cameron Brink, that is one of the most fun teams to watch in all of college basketball. And then you also have to look at Louisville as well with Haley Van Lith. She has a killer instinct. If you didn't see her post-game interview and the way that she echoed Kobe Bryant, you need to go check that out. We are in for a really fun Final Four, but for me, I'm going to go.
Yeah, hold on a second. You just named every team except for UConn, who you just devoted 2 minutes to. Indiana, Stanford. All right, Bob, one team, and only one team, can be the most impressive. Who's most impressive going in?
I'm going to stick with South Carolina but it's by a small margin. This is a chalky Final Four. We talk about the men, but this is even better. 3 ones and a two. You can make a devil's advocate argument for any of the three, and that's for sure. But I'm just going to say, I don't know, just gut feeling. And I'm a big Dawn Staley fan. I have been since I wrote a column about her in the '96 Olympics. I'm kind of pulling for her.
Harry Lyles, where were you in the '96 Olympics?
I was actually at the 96 Olympics at the track and field events here in Atlanta.
Yeah, where are you? How old were you?
I was 4 years old.
Four years old. That's wonderful. Wow. How are you getting your points back? George Sedano, most impressive going into the Final Four.
Tony, it's going to be Stanford. Look, obviously you look at Lexi Hull, 88 points in the tournament. That's the most by a Stanford player since our pal Chinea Gumike had 109 several years ago, and she's still got some games to go. You know, Haley Jones is virtually unguardable, Tony. When you look at her from the guard position, her size and athleticism is incredible. And Stanford's defense has been fantastic. They have contested all but one shot in the paint in their last two games. 100% of the shots 2 games ago, 97 in the last game, 12 blocks in the paint in the last couple of games. Their defense in the interior has been great.
And they are the defending champs for a reason. But if you want to talk about defense, Jay, can I lean you to Louisville? Did it allow a point in the last 5 minutes of a game?
Yeah, Tone, but I'm going to go defense and stick with the South Carolina theme that's developing here. We can back it up statistically in that they hold almost everybody below their season scoring average. They're dominant inside, dominating points in paint. They're great at second chance points as well, but also sentimentality favorite.
Yes, so that's
Dawn Staley, I'm a big fan of her since 96, like Bob, but even more so after this last weekend when she spent time in a post-game press conference thanking the local media for its coverage and got on a phone with the local editor imploring him to send the beat writer to the Final Four. They weren't going to travel. She's on the phone telling the editor, you got to send them. What are we doing here? So you got to like any coach says,
I appreciate
arguing on behalf of the media.
Your representation there, J.A. All that information could have been poured into filling out your bracket for the women's tournament, which you happen to be in last place right now.
That's South Carolina winning, though.
You're still alive. We'll move on. We've been horned. Let's talk some NBA. Bucks Sixers tonight in an Eastern Conference separated by a nose hair. That's two versus three in the conference right now. Could be one versus two by the end of the week. Who knows? Miami, Boston also jockeying. The most intriguing part of all this in the conference. Somebody's going to be trying to get better seating, while somebody's going to be trying to avoid the Nets as well. Bob Ryan, 2 weeks to go. Break down the top of the conference.
First of all, seating is not that important. Health is everything. Seating means that you got to win one road game in a series. If you can't do that, you don't belong. Period. End of story. Now, as far as the East is concerned, if you put that proverbial mythical Luger to my head, which you are doing, I guess, I'll pick Milwaukee. There's no reason to go against Milwaukee. They've got the most things going for them, period, starting with the most dynamic player in the game. He is the most dynamic, the former Greek freak, no longer called that. Now, Philadelphia, they're a mystery guest now because of the Harden syndrome. Everybody's picking apart Harden's game. He's lost his step. He doesn't explode this. He can't do that. He can't do that. And then you throw in the fact that he's got a bad track record in the playoffs. I wouldn't be feeling so good if I were a Philadelphia fan. And really? Then we have to quickly talk about the Celtics, who up to 24 hours ago would have been right in the discussion. But as soon as the news comes about Robert Williams, who is indispensable to their cause, they have nothing that they have on the roster that can replace him. And what he was been doing for their defense and even their offense, they're in big trouble without him.
Is there any other time for anyone else? Bob Ryan there. Okay. Harry Lyles Jr.
Yeah, I'm taking Milwaukee. They're healthy. They're the defending champs. They've got an MVP candidate in Giannis, obviously. But going back to something that Bob said, I think that a big blow here is this Robert Williams injury for the Celtics. I would have taken them, honestly, as 1B with Milwaukee if he was healthy because of what he does provide for them on defense. Like, we're not just talking about a good defensive team. Like, this was the best defensive team in the NBA, and it's because of him. And now you're going to have some of that pressure put on Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown to pick up some of that defensive slack where he's not going to be there.
Yeah, Donde.
Yeah, and we're talking the injuries. I mean, the fact that Milwaukee's getting healthier. They got Brook Lopez back. They're 5-2 in the games that he's played this year. I think that will play a factor. And let's dispense with this notion that, oh, you don't want to face Brooklyn in the first round. That's when you want them because they're still figuring things out. I think you'd rather avoid them later. You don't want to face them later because they might be a more cohesive team at that point. You want to get them early, even if that's not a very nice reward for finishing with the high seed.
And George Sedana.
Tony, when Milwaukee's big three plays, they're about 70% win percentage. They've been really good, and they've learned from that experience. There was a lot of talk in previous years that Giannis couldn't do it and late in the game. Same with Chris Middleton. And they went through that situation last season and overcame some really tough moments in that finals. People forget, right? Not just the Giannis block, but Drew Holiday threw an alley-oop, man, that everyone thought, what is he doing? Giannis finishes it. Those two plays changed that entire series. So I think Milwaukee's still the team to beat until dethroned.
Bob Ryan, panelist to beat right now with 25 points going into by herself. Although, Harry Lyles, I'm going back, giving you more points. That one really got stuck in my face. You were at the 96 Olympics, and you were at the track and field as a four-year-old. We'll be back by herself. You're alive.
Around the Horn is brought to you by the United States Postal Service, delivering for America. Learn more at usps.com/delivering.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
The possibility Tiger Woods will play in next week's Masters. He's been practicing in Florida. There's a flight tracker. Who knows if this is right, but Kendall Baker, I give him credit, was tracking a private flight from near Tiger's home to Augusta. He's only played one time since his car accident 14 months ago, nearly lost his leg in that. The tournament with his son where they finished second. His odds to win just went down in nearly every sports book. Bob Harrig, SI reporting, he's practicing in Augusta to gauge whether he'll play. George, what would Tiger playing the Masters be? Can he really play to win, or would just playing to play be something you could see Tiger wanting to do?
I think the latter, Tony. I live close by to where that accident was. I drive down that street fairly regularly. He's lucky to be alive, man. So the fact that he can walk and that he can play golf would be a fantastic achievement for him personally, considering everything he's been through after that accident. And look, golf is always better when Tiger's there.
Jay, you've covered Tiger Woods. You know he plays to win. The idea that he would play just to show that he could play, and just to feel that feeling at Augusta, do you think that's factoring in here, Jay?
Yeah, and I think it's an attitude adjustment. I was at his last press conference in L.A. a couple days after the Super Bowl, and he was saying that he didn't have the stamina to get through a full week of everything it takes to play competitive golf. And the fact that he was at peace with never being a full-time pro again, competitive, I think now he'd be at peace with basically turning into a glorified, you know, hitting that honorary tee shot. I think he would be okay if he didn't make the cut, just as long as he got back out there and was at the Masters at Augusta once
more. Harry Lyles Jr.
Well, Tony, I'm impressed with the golf community's ability to enjoy the flight tracking like college football fans do.
Me too.
But as far as Tiger goes, you know, he, like, given where his accident was 13 months ago and the fact that he's even considering playing is incredible, but he said that his big problem right now is walking and walking the course. So to me, if that's still an issue, I don't see it very likely that he would play, and I would hope that he would make the best personal decision for him and his health.
Bob Ryan.
I think the fact that the Masters is the one up for him is tells us all. This is where he feels the greatest affinity of any course in the world, number one. Number two, do not count out the idea that as a student of golf history, he's aware of the Ben Hogan saga. I can see Tiger wanting to replicate what Ben Hogan did 70 years ago, rebounding from a catastrophic accident and winning major tournaments.
Buy or sell two, NFL overtime rule changes. It is official. The regular season will remain sudden death, but they're making the change for the playoffs. Now both teams will get the football. You can call it the Josh Allen rule, J.A. Change you can believe in?
It's an incremental step, but why don't they just take the full step and go to the college model? They adapted the college model for two-point conversions, adapt the college overtime model, and just be done
okay,
with it.
Okay, there
stop,
we go.
Stop tweaking and just go all the way.
Well, some have argued the college model isn't in itself. It's just two bonkers to begin with. Harry Lyles Jr., you know the college rule better than anybody. Do you think they should go with the college rule or this change they made today to go with both teams getting the ball?
They should go with the old version of the college rules where they just change possessions until there's a winner as opposed to the one that we have now because it's a little too gimmicky for me. But I am buying that this is something that needed to be done. The NFL and its biggest stars are quarterbacks, and you can't have a game like we did last year with Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen and both players not touch the football. So I think that this was the right
Bob
move.
Ryan?
Well, I'm sure the Patriots are glad this rule wouldn't have been invoked 20 years ago. They'd have a few fewer flags up there. Of course, it's time has come. And a college rule, that's not football. What are you talking about? That's absurd. No. N-O. No.
If it were the college rule, Jay, that Bills-Chiefs game would have ended about 97 to 93, you know? George Sedano, how about you?
Yeah, I'm with Bob and Harry on this. And you don't want to start near the red zone. That thing will be a basketball score. But yes, fairness and equity, right? Make it equitable in this situation. Give both teams a chance. It makes all the sense in the world.
It was 29-3 on the vote. That's why they're making the change. I'm kind of interested to know which three teams voted against changing the rules. George Sedano, Harry Lyles Jr., I'm sure I'm going to need an appeal now to change the elimination rule on this show, but for the moment, you got front row seats to J.A. Adonde, Bob Ryan, showing it down like it's 2002. Let's go around the horn.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Look at how Buffalo-Chicago was decided last night. 10.6 seconds left. Look at this. Off the board, off the back of the blade of the skate of goalie Kevin Lankinen, and in. Tage Thompson gets credit for the goal. He broke his stick, which led to the bouncing puck. Speaking of breaking a stick, Lankinen tried in frustration after the goal. Couldn't break it the first time. Took three tries. Sabres win 6-5. J.A., I just told you. Thompson got credit for the goal. Who should get credit?
The board should get the credit, but since they don't give out credit to inanimate objects, then, yeah, give it to Thompson because he played it like an expert billiards player, right? Maybe Minnesota Fats gets credit for creating the angles and showing you how you can work the angles.
It was pure luck. Look, as someone who has long maintained that empty net goals should only count as a half in the scoring race, and I'm serious,
really? That
should count a half, maybe a quarter more likely. That's it. He can't get full credit. That's preposterous.
Mm-hmm. Adonde getting a point from Minnesota Fats and the Massé, or whatever that shot is that they showed in the commercial all those years. Bob, you're getting a half a point because you believe in half a points. Not registering, but we'll allow half a point for Bob. Show that too. Couple of murky quarterback situations. The Giants doubling down on Daniel Jones. Owner John Mara said you either have a quarterback or you don't. We think we have one in Daniel Jones. Mm-hmm. And the Niners seemingly doubling down on keeping Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance. So I guess either you have two quarterbacks or you don't. Which statement is more provocative, Bob?
Well, I don't know about provocative, except I will defend John Mara because he's right that Jones has not had proper support. Let's see him with some if he ever gets any. As far as the Niners are concerned, the minute they drafted Lance, they've kind of put Garoppolo in a tough position. They still have them both. I know he's hurt. That makes it difficult to trade him. But
I say not the Giants, Bob. Mara contradicted himself. He said, you either have one or you don't. We think we have one. If you think you have a quarterback, it means you don't have a quarterback. So yeah. The Giants are still quarterback list.
Point Adonde. Bob, you either have a point or you don't. And you don't. You have a half a point. We'll move on. One last one. Julius Randle's body language. Knicks won the game. They beat the Bulls. Some are pointing out he didn't look too happy. They had 5 points for the game. Break it down, Jay.
You wonder how we got here so fast in just a year. A year ago, he was a toast in New York. The Knicks are back, bing, bong, all that. And now we're acting like that after a victory. He's been so miserable. I wonder why.
Bob?
Why, Julius?
Earth to Julius Randle. It's not about you. Apologize to your teammates immediately.
Point Adonde. Bob Ryan, the FaceTime's not about you. 30 seconds, Jay.
NFL announced expansion to the Rooney Rule now, where it's going to mandate that all teams add a minority or a woman to the offensive side of the coaching staff, since that's where they're coming from. It's a recognition that the Rooney Rule wasn't working. Guess what? This expansion won't work. You don't want to force people to do it. You can't force people to change their minds and hearts. We're still a long way away from being where we need to be in coaching and hiring the NFL.
Adonde, today's champ. We'll see you tomorrow.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business.
From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.